welcome to another episode of Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. I'm sitting here with Diane. Diane, how you doing?
Good, and you?
I'm doing well. We got a big show lined up for you today. We got a couple of special guests coming in. We got Marie Everdeen Berouet, second year student at Bishop's University. Great student athlete, great kid. I think she's studying business and a bit of sports studies, so we'll talk a bit about that with her. We have a recruit that we taped an interview with who was here on a visit a couple of weeks ago. Her name is Marie Cordoba. She's from Montmorency College. And just recently, she committed to Bishop's University, so that'll be an interesting conversation. You know, and as you know, we'll end off with a preview of what's happening this week, but we'll start off with a recap of what happened last week. We opened up our regular season last weekend, last Saturday night at Bishop's University. We had UCAM Citizens came to town, and both the men's and the women's teams triumphed that night, and it was a great, great night for basketball. It was a, you know, Garth Smith was memorialized, Garth passed away this past summer, and it was a tragedy for the community, but the community banded together this past weekend, and the golf course, the clubhouse at the golf course was named after Garth, and there was a huge reunion there, and then it carried over into our two games, and there was a huge crowd, and Coach Paul McCallis said a couple of words at halftime about Garth, and the family was introduced, and there was a huge round of applause, and it was just a special, special night. And earlier in the day, we inaugurated our team rooms. You know, this past summer, alumni contributed $50,000 to each the men's and women's programs, and we have state-of-the-art team rooms, which the girls and the guys just love. And so those rooms were officially open Saturday afternoon, and it added to the luster of the whole day. And I'll tell you what, our girls really responded. We came out, and Diane, maybe you can give a bit of a recap of the game, the score, the leading scores, and your thoughts on the game.
So the game was, we started really well, I would say, in the first half.
Oh, yeah.
And we actually scored 18 points in each quarter until the fourth. So our second half, that's when the third quarter was okay. But fourth quarter, I think we started to
fade
a bit. And UCAM outscored us 27-15. But we were still able to hang on to the lead and win 69-65. So our top scorers were Mitch Lynn with 21 points and 12 rebounds. Mold had 20 points and 5 rebounds. Marie had a double-double as well. She had 11 points, 11 rebounds. And Evmarie, who had a really good game, she had 13 points and 8 rebounds.
So, you know, we had 4 people in double figures. And, I mean, Micheline Gavalis had a game for the ages, right? She had 21 points. She had 12 rebounds. She went to the line 18 times. She connected on 13 of them. I think she had 5 assists, 4 steals.
Yeah.
She went, you know, and she didn't have one foul in the whole game, and she was playing, you know, arguably, you know, she was playing UCAM's point guard, who's a terrific little player, and she just tied her in knots. And, you know, I'm hoping Micheline could keep it up. And as we speak, she's leading the league in scoring and rebounding, you know, and Mode's not far behind at 20 points a game. So, you know, it was a great start to our season. You know, to me, as a coach, the first half was magical. We were up 36-20. You know, we were up 16 after 3 quarters, and we did, you know, our depth is limited right now with some key injuries and a visa problem issue, which is holding out, you know, our starting point guard. But nonetheless, the girls, you know, they knew we had to win that game. It was a playoff atmosphere, and you know, they played their hearts out. We ran out of gas in the fourth quarter, which has been an issue throughout the year. You know, we've been preaching at practice this week, 40 minutes of concentration. Rely on the system when you get fatigued, and you're going to save some energy along the way. Now, give UCAM full credit. Like, that team is just so bloody tough, right, Diane?
Yes, yeah.
You know, they just don't go away. They keep punching. You know, right when you think you have them knocked out, they get up off the mat, and they come at you again and again and again. You know, I think, to their credit, they ran out of time, you know, and we were fortunate to limp out of there with a victory, but a very well-deserved victory, and it was just terrific for our program, all right? Moving forward, the top 10 just came out today, minutes ago, and I'm going to read that off, and then Diane will recap action in the rest of our league. Laval is ranked number one, and we play them Saturday night, so that'll be interesting. Ryerson is number two. We played them earlier in the year, gave them a real tough game. McMaster is third. Carleton is fourth. They're coming to our tournament at Christmas time. Concordia is fifth. I think we play them next week. Ottawa is sixth. They're coming to our Christmas tournament. Saskatchewan is number seven. We played them earlier this year. Played them tough. Calgary is eight. Regina is nine. And UBC is 10. In terms of strength of schedule, we'll probably end up playing the toughest schedule in the country, which is great for our program, great for our girls, great for our development, great for our recruiting. So we're really excited about that. And Diane, maybe you can quickly recap other games in the University League and then some games in the CEJEP League.
So the season started last Thursday, and there were two games. UCAM was at McGill, and they lost 57-56. It was a buzzer beater by Gladys. So she had the last point. She just had the rebound, just threw the ball up, and they won. Then also, Concordia had their home opener against Laval, and they lost 66-61. Then it was our game on Saturday, and then Laval played against McGill, and they won 65-46.
So as it stands right now, Laval is 2-0, correct?
Yes, yes.
You know, we're 1-0. We're in second place right now. Yeah. McGill's 1-1.
Yes, and UCAM is 0-2.
And Concordia is 0-1.
Yes.
Okay, so any news from the CEJEP League?
For the CEJEP League, there were two games on Friday. Champlain St. Lambert won 81-78 against Édouard Montpetit, and Montmorency won by forfeit against Sainte-Foy. And also, Dawson won 80-66 against Vanier.
Well, there's some interesting stuff in that CEJEP League. You know, yeah. It's one of those years, like Momo had to forfeit a game earlier in the year due to like excessive injuries, and now they were going down to play Sainte-Foy, which would have been a huge game, and a number of Sainte-Foy's players were suspended for some disciplinary action, and that game had to be forfeited. So some strange things going on in the CEJEP League, but hopefully they'll sort that stuff out. And it's always a shame when a game has to be forfeited. Anyways, that wraps up the first part of our show. We're going to be right back with Marie Evredine Berouette. Mama told you don't talk to strangers. But when you riding in that cup, you can't explain it. What you've been waiting on this whole time? I blow the brains out of your mind. She look like she nasty. Look at, she look like she classy. Look at her dancing. Look at, she look at. I took her to the mansion. Yeah, yeah. You sneak out of the crowd, baby. It's a no-brainer. It ain't the hard to choose. Him or me, be for real, baby. It's a no-brainer. You got your mind on loose. Go hard and watch the sunrise. One night it changed your whole life. Pop top, drop top, baby. It's a no-brainer. Put 'em up. Okay, welcome back to Time Out with Coach Craig Norman, and we're here in the Meet a Gator segment, and we have a very special young lady here, second year student athlete from Dawson College, and she always gets mad at me and winces when I say her name, but I'm going to say it anyway. Marie Evredine Berouette, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Did I get it right this time, Marie?
Yes, you
did. I did. Okay, I apologize for all the times I've screwed it up. All right. Marie's a terrific, terrific player, all right? There's not many girls that could do what she does. Number one, she plays an extraordinary amount of minutes, all right? She plays against, you know, usually the other team's top forward, and she just soldiers on. She's a great athlete. You know, last week against UCAM, she had a terrific game. Diane, what were her stats last week versus UCAM?
11 points, 11 rebounds.
Yeah.
Something like that,
11 points, 11 rebounds. She had a game for the ages down in Boston there against Bentley College. She had 11 steals, I believe, in one game. Like, Marie, how steals seem to be a big part of your game. Like, can you give, like, any insight as to how you steal the ball and what you're looking for when you, like, because you kind of, like, you wait and then you make a play on the ball. What's going through that head of yours?
Well, I just see through the person who's going to pass the ball if she's going to do a bounce pass or a higher pass, and I just move with it. Wow. I just go.
You see, like, you see, a coach can't really teach that, right? No. Like, and I mean, Marie goes up and gets it, and it's right. That's exactly what she does. Yeah. She either goes and gets it up, or she reaches around. You know, and that's, you know, it's hard to tell players, and I have trouble with this with Marie, right? Like, I've told Marie, like, if you're going to make a play on that ball, you better come up with it,
yeah.
All right? And sometimes when she doesn't, I get upset with her, but I can't hold her back from making those plays because they're huge plays. Now, Marie, you're in your second year now, and, you know, you had a great first year. I thought you probably should have been the rookie of the year in the league last year. And number one, was that frustrating for you at all, like not winning that award?
Yes, it was, but I just feel like getting that title was not like one of my biggest
goals.
Yeah, goals.
Yeah, I think anybody who knows the game, all right, knows that you deserved it and the impact you had on our program. We're talking about our program was 2-14 before you got here, all right. And then we go to 8-8, and the only change was you. And Concordia goes from, I don't know, 10-6 the year before to 3-13 last year, and one of their players gets it. So, you know, no more, like, Coralie Jamal had a great year, but she didn't have the impact you had. So, you know, I want you to know that I know that you were Rookie of the Year in the league, all right?
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how, like, being a second-year player, what has changed for you in terms of maybe your understanding of the game, the way you prepare, the way you handle practice? What has changed? Anything?
Take my medication before practice. No, but really, I just feel like I know how to play basketball in the university level a bit more. I feel more comfortable. I know when to do plays and when not to, because like you said last year, you said something like, if you go for the steal and you miss it, like, you give the opportunity for the team to, like,
yeah,
score. And this happened to me a lot last year. And this year, I feel like I'm more cautious with it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's about it.
Also, you're recognizing a bit better when to take those chances.
Yeah.
Now, what about, you know, and I know, like, I think one thing that, you know, I'm guilty of is my expectations of you have been very high. But that's because I know what you're capable of. And I think that's changed your role. And I think that you're handling it much better this year. But I know that you're under a lot of pressure. And there's a lot of expectations. And I'm wondering, how do you handle that? How do you deal with that? Like, the pressures of the game?
I just play basketball, let's say.
Yeah, well, it could be as simple as this. You work hard, right?
Yeah, work hard and, you know, try to do my best, and I know I'm a good rebounder and a good defender, so if I focus on that and do my best in it, then...
Now, you know, we forgot to mention this, but earlier in the year, you suffered a concussion, and that's a big thing in sports nowadays, and it's kind of like a fluke injury at the McGill tournament,
mm-hmm.
and I'm wondering what kind of impact did that have on you, and are you feeling 100% now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feeling 100%, but I have to say, it was the longest 2 weeks of my life.
Yeah.
And it was the first time that it ever happened to me, because I don't even know, like.
Yeah. And how did it feel like for you? Like, you were great when we went down to the tournament in Toronto, but you had to watch your team play three games. Was that difficult for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very difficult when you feel like, you know, you can make a change, or when you feel like you can, like, play some defense on someone that not everybody can, like, play defense on in the team. I just felt like I was in the bench trying, moving my feet, excited to play, but I couldn't. So it's hard.
You know, much like last year, you know, we still have some depth issues. And, you know, on Saturday night, you played 40 minutes, I believe. Did she played 40 minutes?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. She looked at me a couple of times. And I pretended I didn't see her as usual. You know, no, she's fine. She's going to be fine. And I could hear her mother going, like, you know, her mother, I don't think, was too happy. But how do you make it through 40 minutes? What do you do? Do you have any techniques to get you through when you're really tired?
No. I feel like it's really more... drink water when you get a timeout.
You know, Coach Norman has to take timeouts sometimes just to give the team a rest, all right? And, you know, if I could give you any advice, rest on offense. Rest on offense and play defense. Now, you know, I also noticed the other night your mom and your whole family was in the crowd, and it seems like you're from a, you know, I know from recruiting you, I did a home visit, and your family's very, very close and wonderful group of people. And I saw your mom after the game give you an extended hug, all right? And it seemed like, you know, you guys just didn't want to say goodbye. And then I saw your two younger sisters who each time I see them, they seem to be growing up. And I'm wondering how difficult it is for a young lady leaving home and then, you know, from such a tight-knit family and then only seeing your family sporadically, what kind of impact does that have on you?
It's great. I mean, like, coming here gave me my independence.
Yeah.
So I have to cook, I have to go to school and whatever. But then when I was home, when I was coming from, let's say, Dawson, I would see my sisters and I would have to take care of them because with my family situation.
Yeah.
So I just feel like coming here gave me my independence, but it also gave them their, like, independence in the sense that where they have to figure things out without me.
Yeah. And now they take on a different role.
Yeah. And when she comes visit, it's so like...
See, it mirrors basketball a bit, right? Like your first year, you were in a role.
Mm-hmm.
Second year, now you're in a bit of a leadership role.
Yeah.
And now your oldest sister is now in the leadership role that you were in, right?
That's it.
So it's kind of a neat thing. And I, you know, I admire and respect you and your family. And it seems like you're really close. Is your mother happy with the person that you're becoming?
Yep, she's very happy. She's she's excited for some things, but
I bet you she wishes you could be home more often, right?
Yeah, that's her.
Now
biggest.
On to another thing. I'm wondering, how are you balancing your school and academics, and are you happy with that aspect?
I have to say, last year was a bit. Not difficult, but like it was hard.
It was a transition.
Yeah. And this year I feel like I know when I have to study, when I have to practice, when I have to sleep, take a nap.
So your time management skills have gotten much better.
Yeah,
right?
Better. Yeah.
Now here's another thing. All right. Being from Dawson College and you played for the great Trevor Williams, the legendary Trevor Williams, the great coach Trevor Williams.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And now the coaching staff at Bishop's University are all former Dawson Blues. You got Craig Norman, who played at Dawson for 3 years. You got Eddie Pomacalla, who played there for 3 years. And you got Ron Crevier, who played there for 3 years. And I know that you'd probably wish there was another Dawson Blue female basketball player there. But how do you feel that with the revamped coaching staff at Bishop's University? That good, eh?
Yeah.
are you enjoying like the different personalities?
I have to say it's a pleasure to be coached by former
Dawson Blues.
All Canadian Dawson Blues and players, and also like to see that everywhere, like everywhere you can go, you can find people from Dawson, etc. And I just feel happy and home in a sense.
Yeah, it's kind of a neat feeling. Now, I'm wondering, do you have any goals and objectives for this year, for yourself and for the team, or just for either yourself or the team?
finish at least first or second
in the conference.
Yeah, in the conference, and if we can, I know we can win the provincial championship.
Oh, that would be a hell of a year.
Yep.
Now, we always end with the same question. Well, there's two to end off. Like, I'm hoping she's got a song of the day, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, do you have a song of the day that you picked out? As she searches for that, all right. I also want you to think about. Do you have one?
Can I sing in French?
No, you don't have to sing. You don't have to sing. You just got to tell us what the song is. You don't have to sing. You just got to tell us what it is, and then we're going to put it on for you.
Okay.
She's desperately searching for one, all right? And, you know, we've kind of put her on the spot here, but she's going to come through, and...
I got it.
Okay. What's the song of the day?
No Brainer by Justin Bieber.
Whoa! Wow! A Justin Bieber fan. You know what? I'm gonna pretend I didn't hear that, and we're gonna play some Justin Bieber on Timeout with Coach Craig Norman. I don't know if I'm ever gonna live this one down. Now, last question. All right. What advice would you give for a young lady out there who wants to follow in your footsteps and aspire to be a great basketball player? All right, and a great person and a great student at the university level.
First, always play with heart. Second, work hard in everything you do. Third, have a great personality because you never know. And the other one would be...
Have fun. Enjoy yourself.
Enjoy yourself. Have fun and... Live your life. Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Marie, it was a pleasure talking to you. I think you did a great job. All right. Marie was a bit nervous coming in, or I thought she was great, Diane. What do you think?
She actually had full sentences.
Yeah. Diane, you have any questions? Like, you got to understand, we got Marie here and we got Diane here. And Diane's an assistant coach and Marie's one of our top players, and they live under the same roof. I'm wondering, how's that relationship going on and off the court? Like you see her in the morning, and then you see her all day at home. Like, is everything good on that end?
Yeah, at home it's fun. At home we have a different relationship. We're more friends. And the good thing is, at home, like, once we come after class, we usually sit together at the table.
We talk
about how our days went and if they need any advice, any help with their homework. Like, I'm there.
We're there for each other.
So
that's great.
We have a pretty good relationship. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And how about, like, how do you guys divide up the chores and the cooking and all that stuff?
I usually have to do everything.
Really?
Oh! No, we rotate. Yeah. But it's not structured. Yeah, we just rotate.
It's kind of an agreement.
Yeah.
It's a gentleman's agreement or a gentle lady's agreement.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like,
okay.
Everything gets done at the house.
So there's some maturity that goes into this.
Yeah, there's no problem.
Okay, well, look, it was great talking with you, and I want you to have great success on the court this year and in the classroom. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So thanks for coming in, and let's go out and beat McGill on Thursday night.
Yeah!
Don't look rich, I ain't got no chain. Not on the list, I ain't got no name. But we in it, I'm not so lame. And I keep it Ben Franklin, I'm not gonna change. A lot of these so messy. I just want you and your bestie. I don't got that answer, but whenever you text me, it's multiple choice and they all wanna test me. Choosing a squad. She trying to choose between me, Justin Quay, and the sword. She told me that she learned that I make music for God. I told her I would let her see that blood. You stick out of the crowd, baby, it's a no-brainer. It ain't the hard to choose. Him or me, be for real, baby, it's a no-brainer. You got your mind on loose. Go hard and watch the sunrise. One night, it changed your whole life. Off top, drop top, baby, it's a no-brainer. Put them up.
Okay, welcome to another exciting segment of Time Out with Coach Norman. Once again, we have an intriguing young lady sitting with us here that we're recruiting to come and play for the Bishop Skaters. I want to welcome Maria Cordoba. Is that how you say your name, Maria?
Yes, it is, Coach Norman.
Okay. welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you're very welcome. Maria is a third-year student athlete at Montmorency College, you know, arguably one of the best programs in the country. All right, coached by a great coach, Martin Fortier, and to be honest, Montmorency College is provide, like, we have four girls from Montmorency College on our roster, so I think it would be a perfect fit for Maria for a number of reasons. You know, she's a tremendous student, and she's visiting with us here today. Maria, I'm wondering if you could talk a bit about, you know, how old you are when you started playing basketball and some of the influences, some of the coaches that you've had over the years that have influenced your development.
Yeah, for sure. I started playing basketball when I was 7 years old. That was because one of my best friends, she got me into playing basketball. I owe her, where she got me where I am right now. And I moved to Quebec. When I moved to Quebec, I didn't really know anything. I didn't know if I was going to continue playing basketball. That's when I met Cora and Carla. Carla, right now, she's my coach at Montmorency too.
Okay.
So I started with them. And Coach Jerry, he coaches Team Quebec.
Oh.
And he coaches at Saint-Laurent.
Okay.
And he really helped me in basketball. He told me that no matter how small you are, you can do great things. Don't let your height keep you down or keep you from getting where you want to be. And from there, I played for Laval.
Yeah.
Nobel for about 2 years. Then I went to play a while for Rosemère with Coach Daniel.
Okay.
I don't know if you know him.
No.
He was, oh, and Pascal Fleury.
You played for Pascal
Fleury?
Yeah,
I played for Pascal Fleury.
There's another Dawson Blue. All
right. He was a great coach. That was when I was in Sparty too. That was my first year in secondary school. I played for him. Then the program, it didn't exist anymore, so I had to leave. And then that's when I went to Rosemère. And I played for Panthère de Rosemère for about 2 years. Then Laval. I was in between Laval and Rosemère. I was always switching up.
Needless to say, you've had quite the basketball journey, right? And it kind of mirrors your journey in life. I was talking to your mom and dad, and you're originally from Colombia. And you emigrated to Canada when you were two. You moved to Toronto, you moved back to Colombia, then you moved to New Brunswick, then you moved to Montreal. You've been in, like, you've played for different coaches. So it seems like you have a sort of a skill set that allows you to fit in different areas and find your niche pretty well.
Exactly.
You know, and you know, so then you end up at Montmorency College and you start off your career playing D2 basketball, which is a step below D1, but needless to say, I think it's a great level. You won a championship there.
I did.
With one of our current players, Jane Lord Dumergin, who's a great young lady from Montmorency. But this year, you get recruited up to play at the D1 level for Martin Fortier. And I'm wondering, how has that transition been from D2 to D1? What are some of the differences you're noticing?
So much different. I mean, the intensity, because now I'm not only playing with girls that will challenge me, but I have a coach that's going to challenge me too in very different ways, in mentally, physically. I mean, it's much more demanding. I'm playing with girls that have a lot of experience. I mean, I went from being captain in Division 2 to being a rookie in Division 1. That was a big change for me, but I mean, the girls really helped me. And I knew the girls that play Division 1, I knew them because we talk in the corridors and I see them very often.
But I mean, I watched you play against Edouard Montpetit. It was the first time I saw you play, and you mm-hmm. played 33 minutes, so it's not really like you're a rookie. I mean, you've been through things before. Can you talk a bit about, you know, some of the pressures of being the point guard on a great team?
Yeah, I mean, you always have, we have, individually we have goals to meet, and as a team we have goals to meet, and I can't make turnovers, because then that puts the other girls, they can't make as many turnovers because I made a lot of turnovers, so that's a lot of pressure. And I mean, playing for Martin Fortier, he's one of the greatest coaches in college basketball, so I mean,
Well, the pressure being the point guard sets the tempo on both sides of the ball, right? Like you're the first line of offense and the first line of defense. So it's like a coach on the floor. So I think it's that's good stress to have on your shoulders.
Yeah.
You know, now can you talk a bit about some of the sacrifice playing at the sacrifices you have to make in your personal life to play at that level?
Sure.
And how do you balance academics and athletics?
Well, I have to make sure that I go home. I get good sleep, so I have to go to sleep earlier. We have practice every day, so right after practice, I have to study, try to get home as early as I can so I can study, so I can go to sleep earlier to get up for school early. I had to put my work aside because I could work more when I used to play Division II. Now I can't work as much. If not my social life, I mean, my friends are always going out to parties. They're always having fun. I mean, I have to be like, oh no, but Saturday night I have to study for bio or chemistry, stuff like that.
I mean, it's a tough go, but like I think the sacrifices are going to pay off down the road, right? And you're going to have the rest of your life to do some of the things that you think you're missing on right now. Now, you know, so now you're in your third year of Seja. And now you got to start thinking about, you know, what's next in your life. And I think what's next is you got to pick a school. And I know that's a difficult process. And I'm wondering, what are some of the things you're looking for in a future school for yourself at the university level?
Yeah. I want a school that's going to offer, obviously going to offer the program that I want to be in. And not only that, I mean, I can't see myself without basketball. So a school that's going to be able to offer me a really good basketball program, great coaches, and a school that I can balance both school and basketball.
Not where you have the supports.
Exactly.
Now, you've had a really intense day at Bishop's, visiting with some academic people, visiting the different facilities, seeing our campus, seeing our locker room, meeting all our coaches. I'm wondering, And I want you to be very general in this answer, but what were your initial thoughts about Bishop's University? And more so Bishop's University than the basketball program.
Mm-hmm. It was a really small school, and I know it's an undergraduate school, so I can't like major. Well, there's some programs that I can major in, but there's not a lot of programs that I can major in. And my program, I can't really major in here. So I was a little hesitant at the beginning. And it was also in Sherbrooke. I mean, it's like 2 hours from where I live. Yeah. But that's not, I mean, right now that's not a problem because I can always drive. It's not very far. But apart from that, I heard that it's a really good school. And then my friends started coming here. So they gave a lot of good feedback. They were like, oh, we love it there. It's a really close, like the community is really close. Everyone knows everyone.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Well, the final question. And, you know, I think, you know, I always tell the girls this, whether you like it or not, you're a role model for all the young kids out there. And for all you kids out there, Maria has risen above great odds, I think. You know, she came here from Columbia. She started basketball at the D2 level. She moved up to the D1 level. All right. She's, you know, I've said this to you already, like she's not a tall girl, and she's playing a sport where size is definitely an advantage. And I'm wondering what advice you would give to a similar young lady from trying to follow in your footsteps.
Always don't let people tell you that you can't do it. Always try for greatness, and always know that even if you're great, there's always going to be someone better than you. So always keep pushing to be the best you can. And there's no limit. There's not a point where you're going to be the best at what you're doing.
I think, like, what great advice, all right? And it's great advice because, you ever, like, when you play basketball or coach basketball, and as soon as you think you're pretty good, that's when you're getting yourself in real trouble because someone comes along and teaches you a really humbling lesson. And I think that's a great message you gave. We're so excited that you came down. And great job on this interview.
Thank you.
I want to wish you success this year on the court and in the classroom. And maybe next year, you're going to be wearing purple.
Yes.
Have a great day.
Thank you for having me, Coach. Walk down at me, sitting up.
and in my intention had to give it up. Look like somebody designed you, dropped it gorgeous, you made me wanna live it up. Your presence is critical, moving my soul, yeah, you're spiritual. They hate it when you notice me, make everybody else invisible. Breaking all the rules, so above the law, I'll be your excuse.
Damn right.
You don't go wrong, no. You stick out of the crowd, baby, it's a no.
Okay, welcome back to Time Out with Coach Craig Norman, sitting here still with Diane Angerville. This is the recap segment of our show, so, or the preview segment of our show. We're going to preview, you know, our upcoming games this week, and you know, we have the coaching tip of the week, and we just talk a bit about what's up. You know, this week's a big week for the program. We travel down to McGill on Thursday, and we play the Martlets, coached by former Bishop's Gator alum Ryan Thorne, who won a national championship with the men's program back in 1998. He's coached the Martlets to a national championship. Just an unbelievable coach, and he's got an unbelievable team. You know, I think they struggled a bit in the preseason, all right, but that could be deceiving because Ryan's always working towards conference play, and they seem to be getting it back together. They're 1-1 right now in conference play, and they've got some great players. They've, you know, they graduated some really key people, but they've just reloaded. They, you know, they have a girl named Sierra Diarra, who played at Clemson University, and now she's in her fourth year of studies at McGill. So she's someone that we're going to have to keep a close eye on. And they also got another transfer, Delphine, what's her last name?
Robitaille,
who was at Central Florida. But I think their best all-round player, in my opinion, is Gladys Hakazima. Yeah. You know, and we're going to have to deal with her. We're going to have to deal with Sierra. And we're going to have to deal with a bus ride, a two-hour bus ride, getting off the bus and playing in a very unfriendly environment at McGill University. Diane, any tidbits on McGill, their record, you know, stats of key players, anything like that you want to share with the audience out there?
So during the preseason, like you said, they struggled a bit. They were 2-6, and right now they're 1-1 for the season. Key players, I would say the two best players right now are Sierra with 14.5 points per game and 8.5 rebounds per game. And second player is Gladys Akizimana with 9 points per game. And
they're either looking for Gladys or they're looking for Sierra. And, you know, I think we've done some good prep, but, you know, it's going to be totally different once the game starts. They're going to look to control tempo as they always do, and they're going to look to run a power game because I think the advantage they have on us, Diane, is they've got more depth.
Yeah.
You know, they've got four serviceable bigs, and they've got six guards. They can go 10 deep, mm-hmm. and, you know, we're struggling to go 7 or 8 deep. So that's going to be an issue, especially on the second night versus Laval, which will lead us to Laval here. We got, you know, so we play McGill Thursday night at McGill. We're going to get back late, all right, on Thursday night. We'll probably get back around 12:30 or 1. Yeah. We practice the next day at 1. We have one day to prepare for Laval. They don't play prior to that game, so they have a week to prepare for us. But you know what? We can't moan about that because we had that advantage on UCAM last week. Yeah. So, you know, Laval's coming in as the number one ranked team in the country. And, I mean, that's great for our program to play against the number one team in the country. They're undefeated this year.
Yeah.
What were they, 9-0 in the preseason? 7-0?
7-0.
7-0, and they've won their first two conference games. Yeah. So they're 9-0, and they've won big most of their games. You know, last week they were down 20 to Concordia at halftime, and they came back and won.
Yeah.
You know, and Concordia was only ranked fourth in the nation at that point. And, you know, UCAM outscored them by 26 in the Laval outscored them by 26 in the second half. Now, who are some of their key players, Diane?
So they have Sarah J. Mawa. She averages 18 points per game and 5.5 rebounds. And also the transfer, Kellyanne Goodwill, who averages 7.5 points per game and 11.5 rebounds.
Still, you know, like, you know, those are great numbers, but Micheline Gabalis is leading the conference
yes,
in scoring.
Yes,
21 points a game and rebounding, 12 rebounds a game now. We'll see if she can keep that going. But it's gonna be an exciting night at Bishop's next Saturday with Laval coming to town. They'll play us at 6 and the men will play at 8. So hoping to see everybody out there. Now, Diane, that brings us to what is the coaching tip of the week this week?
So it's about goal setting. We're still in the beginning phase of the season. And most coaches, we usually plan the season based on the we have to plan the season based on the skills of our players, and we can't assume that the players know everything. So we have to start with the basics, making sure the players know the techniques first, like I said before, and then move on to the tactics. But as coaches, we need to be able to adapt. So if the players don't know, let's say, your system, you have to make sure that they know it before you can move on, and that way you'll be more ready, and then you could actually, when you make it to the playoffs, you'll be prepared and you don't have to start over. So then everything is according to plan.
That's kind of, it's a great tip. So I think in a nutshell, what you're saying is you start the season with a plan.
Yes.
But you may have to adjust it.
Yes.
All right. And my experience as a coach is, you know, nothing is written in stone, especially a seasonal plan. And you got to be flexible enough to realize at times maybe your system doesn't fit your talent. Yeah. Maybe you have to change some things up. All right, pride is a tough lesson to learn when you're a coach, and sometimes you're just gonna have to swallow it and adapt, improvise, and overcome. All right, now Diane, what other games are on tab this week in both the University League and the Sejep League?
So at the university level, there's only one other game apart from our two games. So first off, we play on Thursday, we play at McGill. And then on Saturday, we play at home against Laval. But on Thursdays, there's also another game where Concordia will be at UCAM.
Okay, so that should be an interesting week. Any games in the Sejep circuit?
Yes, so there'll be three games on Friday. Champlain-St. Lambert will be at Trois-Rivières. Edouard Montpetit at here against Champlain-Lennoxville, and then Sainte-Foy at Dawson.
Okay, well, Diane, once again, great job. That
wraps up
another exciting edition of Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. And hopefully next week we're going to be back here with either, you know, maybe two big wins in the league and one over a number one ranked team in the country, you know, and at worst, maybe 1-1. Like, worst case scenario, 0-2, but we got better. But
yes.
I'm thinking, you know, we're just going to worry about that McGill game for now, and we'll see what happens on Thursday night, and we'll see everybody back here next Wednesday. Thank you. Another one.